So for the past almost 1 year, if you received a new credit card in the mail, looked a bit different than what you've grown accustomed to over the years. The front of the card featured a small square chip, which meant that you would now insert the card into a reader at the store instead of swiping it. Why the need for a change with what seemed to be working okay, at least for you? That's what my next guest is here to explain. He's the CEO of the Electronic Transactions Association, Jason Oxman. Thanks for being here today, Jason.
Well, thanks. It's a pleasure.
And the website for the Electronic Transactions Association is electrans.org, and we've got the link over to our website as well. So just for a foundation, Jason, why the switch to a chip from the magnetic strip, which had been serving people rather well, apparently, since the days of the carbon paper machines that we used to see?
Well, that's right. It's a 40-year-old technology, that magnetic stripe, same technology used in cassette tapes. That's how old it is. And it's not the most secure payments technology, which is why we're doing this upgrade. The upgrade to chip cards addresses the single most common form of credit card fraud in stores today, which is counterfeit cards. Those magnetic stripe cards are very easy to counterfeit. Criminals do it to the tune of about $3 billion in counterfeit card fraud in the U.S. Each year. The chip cards make it impossible for criminals to counterfeit those cards, so that's why we're doing this upgrade.
Does the chip hold more data and make available more data than the magnetic cards used to do?
It actually holds the same data as the magnetic stripe cards, with one important difference. The security code that is embedded on your magnetic stripe is a static security code. It's the same four-digit code for every transaction. In the chip card, the security code is dynamic. It changes every time. That's actually the thing that the chip does very well, is create a unique or dynamic security code with each transaction. That's why the card can't be counterfeited, because the criminal doesn't know what code that chip is going to generate the next time it's used. So the chip has the same kind of information as the magnetic stripe, with that one important difference that stops counterfeiting of the card.
So it's almost like an electronic version of the hologram that the government uses on the currency now. There's a little hologram stripe, which, unless you have the makeup of the fibers of the stripe, because they vary every time you look at it, you they're almost impossible to copy.
That's right, and in fact, it's the reason that the chip card has to be inserted into the chip reader and left there for a moment, because it gets power from the terminal. Your card has the chip in it, which is actually a computer chip, but it doesn't have a battery. So it needs the power from the terminal to generate that cryptogram, and that's what makes it more secure.
Now, of course, in the retail stores, we saw Target, among other places, over the past year, 2 years, especially around the holiday season, there was a huge hacking and data that was swiped, and a lot of credit card fraud took place. Does the chip prevent that second level of hacking?
So the chip prevents the criminal from reaping the rewards of that hacking. It doesn't stop the hacking itself. So you mentioned the Target breach. That was a breach that was accomplished through malware installed on Target's systems. The EMV chips themselves wouldn't have stopped that breach. The criminal that breached Target systems got some access codes, passwords, and usernames from an outside vendor. What the chip cards prevent is the criminal from using those stolen numbers to make counterfeit cards. So our goal in implementing the new chip cards is to make it harder for criminals to reap the rewards of stealing credit card numbers, and then hopefully make the stealing of credit card numbers less attractive of a criminal hack.
Talking with Jason Oxman, who is the CEO of the Electronic Transactions Association, which on the web is electrans.org, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. How fragile are the chips versus the magnetic stripes? Because I lost count of the number of times I've been behind somebody in line with a magnetic stripe card that looks like basically a Mack truck ran over it, and the stripe is just totally shot, but they're just trying to swipe away and just tying up the whole line. Are the chips more durable and sturdy? Because in the past we've been told that CDs were going to be lasting forever, DVDs would last forever, and we know that not to be true now.
The chips are more sturdy, and in fact, if you take a look at your chip card, pull it out of your wallet or purse or pocket right now, you'll see what looks like a computer chip right there in front of the card.
Right.
That's actually not the computer chip itself. It's a cover. The chip is actually inside the card, and that computer chip looking material on the front of the card is actually just a contact cover. It's what forms that electrical connection between the chip and the chip reader. So the chip is nicely protected inside there. That's not the chip itself that you see there, so it actually is more robust and more hardy than the older magnetic stripe cards.
Now, the consumer really has the easy side of the equation because they just get the card in the mail and they're ready to rock and roll. How receptive have retail outlets and businesses been as far as getting the new readers and the equipment they need to be able to accept the chip cards?
You're right about the consumer being largely unaffected by this. There's a change in the muscle motion that a consumer makes to dip the card instead of swiping it. But the consumer doesn't have to do anything other than get that card in the mail. And the consumer continues to enjoy 100% protection against any fraud liability. For the merchant, there is more of an investment, both in time and money, in upgrading to new chip readers. The good news is more than 2 million merchants in the United States have already completed the upgrade. That's just 11 months after the switchover to chip readers started, so that's actually remarkable progress. It's close to 40% of merchant locations in the U.S. that have upgraded today. Most large merchants, if not all large merchants in the country, have completed the work. But about 75% of the merchants that have upgraded are actually small businesses, so they're doing it as well. Again, more work still to come. About 90% of Americans already are using chip cards. And with 2 million merchant locations, we know that most people have a choice of merchants to visit who have done that chip reader upgrade.
For the person who just received the chip card and they go into a retailer or business that has the old swipe equipment, can you still swipe with the chip card?
Indeed, and you'll note that when you get your new chip card in the mail, it will still have a magnetic stripe on the back. And that's for one very simple reason, and that is to ensure that the cards can still be used ubiquitously, even at merchants that haven't yet completed the upgrade to chip readers. Now, the card is also smart. If you try to use your chip card at a swipe terminal that also has a chip reader, when you swipe your card, you'll get prompted to instead insert your chip card. That's because both the machine and the card itself can communicate with each other. A chip card will want the machine that is chip capable to prompt it to use the chip reader. And that's what will happen if you try to use your MagStripe card at a chip-enabled terminal.
There's one other nice asset, too. If you're absent-minded or you're one who doesn't really pay attention to what you're doing, you leave the card in, the chip reader makes a very loud beep to remind you to take the card out. So it's pretty much impossible to leave your card behind on the store when you're using a chip card now.
That's right. And some people find those beeps a little annoying, but it is a short-term measure because, as you said, we're all used to swiping our cards and then putting them away immediately. And this different behavior, which is a change in the way we've done things for the last 40 years, does require a little bit of a reminder in some cases. And frankly, it's better to get the reminder with a little bit of an annoying beeping noise than remembering 20 minutes later that you have to turn back and go to the store and get the card you left behind.
And I see with inserting instead of swiping, you won't be getting shopper's elbow anymore if you're out there during the Christmas season doing a lot of swiping and shopping.
That's right.
So to learn more about this issue and other issues under the interests and the information outlet of the Electronic Transactions Association, electrans.org is a website you can do that. And it's a little novelty for a change in technology that's easy for the user. And can't be more user-friendly than that. We've been joined this morning by the CEO of the Electronic Transactions Association, Jason Oxman. Thanks for cluing us in all the changes from being here today.
Thank you for having me.